What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Brasillo. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamor. Shams, how are you doing on this fine Thursday evening? Welcome back to Connor McDavid, as all fantasy hockey fans should be happy about.
Yeah, it looks like that, like, most players are playing like Connor McDavid, looking at all the goal totals today. So I'm happy that I have only Forsberg starting. That's given me 1.5 couple points versus, you know, the lowly Shesterkin that got pulled after giving 5 goals on 12 shots. So cross your fingers if you started a goalie today, which most of you did.
Definitely a bit of a goalapalooza out there, if I can invent a word. I unfortunately streamed Nedeljkovic. So I just used a move and dropped a player in order to lose points, which is never fun. On the other hand, my other goalie's Hellebuck, who is one of the ones surviving so far. But let's get right into the news. I mentioned Connor McDavid. He returned last night, actually. Didn't do anything in his first game back from injury, but it was a shorter stay on the IR than before. Looks like they're kind of back to their normal lines. Anything interesting you saw here, Shams, that I missed?
Yeah, I wouldn't really put too much on the first game back. It was kind of a weird matchup, and I feel like that Vegas is a really good defensive team. There were certain situations where they even lined up Carlson with Eichel and Stone in certain defensive situations with, like, Hanifin and Pietrangelo, so they're really ready to, like, lock it down. So the lack of points in the first game wouldn't be a concern for me.
Same. I do hope he gets going, though. I don't own him in any leagues, but it's always fun when McDavid's scoring like 3 points a game and you're like, is this the year that he gets 164 points in a season? Not going to be this year, but oh well. Next up, we have, I guess we'll call this an injury now for Jake Walman. Basically, he got healthy scratched on Tuesday, which somehow ended up with him getting the out status on all of the fantasy sites, which healthy scratches usually don't. So in my mind, I'm like, is this really a healthy scratch, or is he hurt? In the previous game, he had taken a big hit, left for a bit, and then come back, but clearly got rocked pretty hard. Worsofsky, the coach, came out and was like, I don't want to divulge details. No one's bigger than the team. Our culture, our standards, it's all I can say. And that was why he was scratched Tuesday. Definitely a healthy scratch. Yet he's also scratched today because he's hurt. My kind of opinion is they're probably just kind of giving him a bit of a rest. He probably missed a meeting or something. I think that whole Worsofsky quote and tweet was a lot of words to say he missed a meeting or complained about not being on power play one, which if I were him, I would be doing. But I'm not too worried about Jake Walman. I hope he's back Sunday. We'll see. This feels like a kind of a nothing burger to me, but it's definitely one of the more coach speak issues we've had this year.
Yeah, certainly with Thompson looking interesting and having Liljegren on the team now, is that a lot of people are drafting Walman thinking, hey, there's no one going to be challenging him. He can do whatever he wants. He's going to be there. But now there's a little bit of doubt. I still think he, assuming that he is healthy soon, should be fine if he keeps the shots and blocks up. But it's not as set in stone going forward with the new competition.
He definitely trends more towards a high-end streamer, low-end roster hold if he's not getting power play one. The Sharks have also played a bit with the 5-forward power play. We'll have to see how this looks. They also just got Celebrini back, so that whole look changes. I will say the lefty-righty switch on power play one, Liljegren's a righty, Walman's a lefty. They've got both Toffoli and that is a righty, and then Granlund and Celebrini are lefties. So I don't know which one they prefer for their setup. I think it's going to shake out in the next couple weeks, and maybe by this time in 2 weeks, we'll be recommending to drop Walman. I'm not right now, though. If you believed in him before, you should still believe in him now. Speaking of healthy scratches, Matvei Michkov owners were unhappy to hear that he was getting healthy scratch this morning. And I saw some grumblings about, oh, this is Tortorella being Tortorella. And I disagree with that. It sounds like it's part of the process. They were kind of planning on doing this occasionally during the season, similar to what happened with Leo Carlson last year, similar to what San Jose is doing with Will Smith. Remains to be seen if San Jose will also do it with Celebrini, given that he has only played two games because he was hurt. You've got to remember that going from 40-game seasons in, you know, the KHL, in college hockey, stuff like that, to 80-game seasons against bigger and stronger men definitely can do a number on your body. There's less time between games in the NHL. You're playing every other night or two out of every five nights, while in college they play Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday once a week. So I realized Mitch Kauf was not in college, but yeah, I'm not worried about this. This is unfortunate, but it's going to happen. He also has been struggling a bit lately, just seems a bit slower to puck, isn't dazzling everyone, but he's fine. Don't drop him.
Yeah, this is something that basically I think we're going to just have to learn to keep in mind going forward with drafts into the future, that it's kind of like how the goalies, you don't just start every game. Same thing with rookies. We're not just going to expect 82 games from them. So if you're going to be drafting a interesting rookie next year, keep in mind that there may be random healthy scratches here and there.
Next up, we've got my favorite team to talk about, the Seattle Kraken. I heard Lewis and Elizabeth talk about them on Tuesday. And, we've got some injury and outry news. Philip Grubauer missed practice today. According to Bylsma, he had an unfortunate accident at home, which, honestly, it makes me think that he, like, cut his finger on a knife or something. It sounds like he's fine day to day. They play Friday tomorrow, and then they play next Tuesday, so they've got a bit of a break. Tomorrow is almost surely DeCord's game anyway. You can be more confident of that if you're trying to guess goalie starts and DeCord's available. It doesn't sound like much of anything. I am going to be looking for what actually happens, because those home injuries are always hilarious. My favorite being when Dustin Penner threw out his back trying to eat pancakes, and I still laugh every time I see those jokes. On the other end, Vince Dunn is progressing well and should be back on the ice in a few days. He's first eligible to return on the 12th, which I believe is next Tuesday. That could be really nice for Vince Dunn owners to get a four-game week. And as was mentioned on last episode, it would be nice for the Kraken in general to get Vince Dunn back. It just gives you one more dangerous offensive threat. Hopefully they'll score some more goals. May eat into Brandon Montour's value a bit. He'll just get less of the power play time and less of the offensive deployment. But I think they're both going to be good. I desperately want Vince Dunn back so my team will start scoring goals.
Yeah, just having any sort of offensive threat from the back end just hopes that helps everyone, including the goalies. Maybe some wins will start coming along their way.
And with that, let's go to a short ad break.
It's an exciting time of year, Black Friday, Cyber Monday coming up. Always fun to get that amazing deal that you wouldn't normally get, except for with our new friends over at Raycon, because Raycon, you get an amazing deal on premium audio every day of the year. That doesn't mean they're not having any sales for your Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Far from it. They're actually doubling down on their amazing value by offering Keeping Carlson listeners up to 30% off site-wide. And you know what? Regardless of the price, you're getting value from Raycon because they are just really great earbuds. I just got sent their latest model. My wife and I have been using it. It's really great. You put it in your ear, even without it turning it on, you can tell that it's like canceling out a lot of noise. It's going to be really good for a flight for sure. They've got plenty of new features that make them even more of a must-have for any audio lover. For example, they now feature 32-hour battery life and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. Raycon's everyday earbuds also come with active noise cancellation. It's a feature that's a must-have on those long flights, or even just walking around downtown Toronto, to be honest. But usually you can't find that at an accessible price point until now, because that's another thing. Although Raycon's quality rivals some of the biggest names in premium audio, Raycons start at just half the price as the other guys, so they're already an incredible deal, even before you factor in the up to 30% off site wide. Raycon's everyday earbuds are also available in a variety of vibrant colors. You don't just have to have the standard issue white or black earbuds sticking out of your ears. Now's the perfect time to scoop them up if you haven't already. And don't worry if you're not as impressed as I have been. Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. It's time to save big for Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Go to buyraycon.com/THPN today to get up to 30% off site-wide. That's right, you'll get up to 30% off everything on Raycon's website when you go to buyraycon.com/THPN. The quest for the Stanley Cup has begun. The puck's dropped on the 24-25 season. Get in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. As you know, I like to take a look at those NHL awards odds. Gives you a good vibe of just like what's going on in the league, regardless of if you want to place a bet or not. I've been following the Lucas Dostal Vezina odds, which have been obviously getting less and less as he continues to have this incredible season. We're still looking at 20-1 right now over on DraftKings Sportsbook. So, you know, I feel like probably after a few more shutouts or good games, that'll continue to get lower and lower. Still a bunch of goalies ahead of him there. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 to get $20 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Isn't it like the best feeling when you get a message from your friend be like, hey, you want to go to the hockey game with me today? I've got an extra ticket. It's like, oh my God, this is going to be the most fun night. We all know watching hockey live is the best. And it's unfortunate you can't just get free tickets all the time, but you can still get really good deals on tickets with our friends over at Game Time. Game Time has a feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. I'm looking now at the Ottawa Senators. I wonder if my co-host Brian is going to consider going to a Sens game anytime soon. I'm seeing you can see they've got some really good prizes here. Islanders at the Ottawa Senators for this coming Thursday, November 7th, from $7. You know, and they got it all sorted by what's good value, what's not. Then if you want to see a weekend game on Saturday, Ottawa at the Bruins from $97. And again, you can kind of take a look by what are the cheapest, or you can look at what's an amazing deal. They'll let you know kind of compared to like what the tickets from that section normally go for. It's a really good website and app, so definitely check out Game Time. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. Filter only incredible deals on great seats with Game Time Picks. Like I said, you see the view from your seat on your phone before you buy. All-in pricing shows you your total cost up front, and you can buy your tickets in seconds with just a couple of taps. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game time.
Welcome back, everyone. We blazed through the first half of that short shift, so let's see if we can keep up this short shift and not get yelled at by our coaches today. We have some hot cold players to start with. Shams, which defenseman has caught your eye in the past couple games?
Noah Hanifin has just turned into a completely new player. Like, he's always been good from a defensive standpoint, but his offensive standpoint has completely changed. In his first 11 games, he had a total of 3 assists. His last 2 games, 3 goals and 2 assists. And on top of that, he had a 6-shot game and a 3-shot game as well. This is really just a whole new interest to me. And usually, I am not a fan of thinking, oh, they're getting points, it's going to go on forever. I'm usually just saying, hey, it's a mirage. But the interesting thing is that this all came together when he switched his defensive partner. I think he was with Theodore before, but now he's with Petrangelo. And I feel like that as a top pairing could be something that means that could be something going forward. I'm not sure how much I want to jump on the train, depending on where you are from a team-wise. But if I remember correctly, the team does play, I think, four or at the very least three games next week. So you could take a chance, even though that they only have one more game left this week, that you could kind of just take the trial early next week if you have that move that you want to spurn, or a one late this week that you're not using, and see if this continues, because the deployment's there, he has a good line partner, and they have enough offensive players that he could keep on picking up those assists.
The thing that's intriguing about this to me is that I'm not sure all three Vegas defensemen can have value at the same time. Shea Theodore started the season really hot. He's also still on power play one, but has been tapering off a bit recently. He's been taking less shots. He doesn't really hit and block. He's kind of getting a point every other game. And, you know, a 40-point pace Theodore versus a 60-point pace Theodore is a big difference. On the other hand, Petrangelo was red hot last week. I think he had back-to-back three assist games. I think he had 10 points last week, or 9 points in four games, or something ridiculous for a defenseman. And obviously he's passed the torch to Hanifin. Petrangelo is shooting more, but also is like alternating like 3 and 4 shot games with 0 shot games. I don't know what to think. I think you're pretty happy with the value you're getting from any of these Vegas defensemen currently based on where you drafted them. But I think they're all going to be really annoying players where they go cold for stretches and the other two are producing, and you're like, why is Shea Theodore scoring and not Alex Petrangelo? Or why is Alex Petrangelo scoring and not Noah Hanifin? It's going to be a bit frustrating, but I think all three are worth holding, but going to be streaky. Do you think that's a fair assessment of the situation?
Yeah, the way I look at it is that Theodore has the highest ceiling just because of that power play one, getting the points. Petrangelo is a nice middle ground just because of, he's still, even when he doesn't get the shots going, he still has consistent blocks and a couple of hits to get you points. And then Hanifin feels like the all or nothing kind of guy where he doesn't really do much, like from a fantasy standpoint. He'll get maybe one block a game at most. And if he doesn't keep up the shot totals like he did the last two games, you're crossing your finger on the points. And I know certain players or fantasy managers are fine taking those points only defensemen, but that's the one that maybe scares me the most, because I hate just having a player on my team that gets me like 0.5 points, and it's like I could use that roster spot for anything else.
I actually had Petrangelo ranked the highest when we were drafting for that exact reason. Like, I had them all as 9th or 10th rounds players, but I had Petrangelo as the one I would take if I were choosing between the three, purely because I know he's going to block 1.5 to 2 times a game, hit once a game, shoot 2 shots a game. And at the very least, you have a floor of, you know, 2 to 2.5 points. And then if he gets 40 points, that's fine. If he gets 50 points, that's incredible value. That's kind of just where I was on the three of them. It's actually kind of frustrating because I feel like if there were only one, like, offensively inclined defenseman on Vegas, they would be like a 5 to 7 fantasy asset on defense. They'd be really, really good, and especially now that they're doing a pure power play one. Speaking of defensemen on good teams, Devin Toews has been ice cold. He has 1 point in his last 8 games, an assist, only 11 shots over that span. He's still getting time on ice in all situations. He's playing like 23 minutes a night, power play 2, lots of shorthanded time. I kind of think this slump is a result of how thin Colorado's roster is. Outside of the top 4 or 5 players, I guess now that Lehkonen's back, maybe it's 5. You don't have a lot of offensive talent, so if he's not out there with good players, he's just not going to get points. I don't know how many like goals per game and stuff they have, but I'm thinking better days may be ahead once Druin and Nichushkin return. Team gets a bit healthier. Lehkonen maybe will ramp up a bit faster. But I also would be totally fine cutting Toews right now. Do you think he's someone who should be rostered in every league? Or where do you fall on this with Devin Toews?
I've put him maybe, the way I look at him is like a Spurgeon kind of like, is that I have no questions of his actual NHL ability as a defenseman. But the issue is that He's not shooting enough, and he's not actually blocking. He feels like he's one of those defensemen that maybe is like positioning, like he doesn't want a shot coming in the first place, so he's not actually involved in the plays. That's why I like, you know, Aristolainen, who's just kind of running around like a chicken with his head cut off, just trying to put his body in front of stuff. Like, he is actually in a position where not a lot of shots are coming, so he's not getting the hits, he's not getting the blocks, and if he's not shooting, what am I getting out of it? This is kind of like almost like a Noah Hanifin situation. So if we're talking about Hanifin as an interesting player, but not an excellent keep for sure, I look at Taves the same way, even with that name value. And sadly, you probably drafted him at a decent place, depending on where you were in your fantasy leagues. But I would be fine cutting him and seeing him get a few points down the road and then maybe pick it up again, because I'm not sure anyone else is rushing to pick him up if you drop him today.
I've always been a bit of a Taze detractor, just because being the second in command behind Makar, I feel like that points, all the even strength points are super tenuous, and always a bit afraid to draft or hold him. I think he's the type of guy, though, that probably should be rostered in every league, but may not be the right fit for every team. Like, there is some team in your 14-team league that has a thin enough defense that they probably want to roster Devin Taze. Whether or not it's your team, especially if you're one of the better teams, maybe not. I think the teams that would be rostering Taze are the ones who are really good and can afford to wait out the slump, or the ones who are really bad and are desperate for someone who's going to break out and slowly turn things around for them. But like, for example, my tier one team probably could use Devin Taze, because my second defenseman is currently Owen Power, who I have very similar opinions on. Like, should be rostered on teams with thin defense and should not be rostered otherwise. This is not an invitation to send me an offer for Devin Taze. Please don't offer me like Taze for Hughes or something, because if he got dropped in tier one, I would consider picking him up, but probably won't, because that league is 16 teams and even deeper. Next up, nice little hot streak from Dylan Larkin. He's started a bit slow, but has 4 goals and an assist in his last 3 games. I believe 3 of the 4 goals are on the power play. The shots are also ticking back up to 3 to 4 per game. He had been on a streak of 2 shots per game. He leads the league in power play goals currently with 5. All of his power play points are goals. I haven't really watched the Wings much, but I'm kind of wondering if, based on where he usually plays, if they're using that bumper play that got Sam Reinhart so many goals, like kind of put it down low, he pops out and then gets a nice little one-timer in tight if it's not covered. That seems to be a favorite of a lot of teams right now. It's where Braden Point gets a lot of his goals. It's where, like I said, Sam Reinhart gets a lot of his goals. And I think it's a skill set that Larkin's pretty good at. So I don't know. Obviously, he's not going to pace. That puts him on pace for 35 power play goals this year, roughly. He's not going to score 35 power play goals. I would be thrilled if he scored 35 goals. But I think he's looking like the player you drafted. Wanted to congratulate this little hot streak here.
Oh, yeah. And the nice thing is with the team is that while they have a lot of interesting forwards that they've kind of gathered during the last few seasons, Larkin's literally the only like interesting offensive center. So basically, with the way that power play set up, you got all of these interesting forwards. You got your Raymonds, your Cades, your Tarasenko's even, and your like the Brigettes. So you're going to have a lot of offensive firepower depending on how they want to switch it up. But Larkin's always going to be that center point of the power play. And in any situation where they're pushing for points, he's always going to be the go-to guy. So that's going to be something where, talking, you know, before about Makar and Taves, no one's going to be put in front this season ahead of Larkin from a center position.
One of the things I like is what Lewis, I think, was talking about last episode, is that you want someone on your team who's going to be the guy, not a guy. And Larkin was going pretty late in drafts for someone who was the guy on his team. I mean, I got him into the 4th round in one league. I think in Kakupful, he was more like a 3rd round player. But that's pretty late in the game to get someone who is guaranteed line 1, power play 1, all of the, you know, 6-on-5, 5-on-6 type of time. that's I was listening to Short Shifts and I was like, oh, that's a really good point. I should pay more attention to that next year. And, you know, maybe not draft Timo Meier as early as I have been. Next up, we got one more hot streak on the skater end. Mark Stone has been doing ridiculous things, Shams. How many points does he have this year?
He has 21 points in only 13 games. That top line is just on fire, and as well as the power play. Now, he only has two shots a game, so it's not, you know, all goals by him. But the thing is that once you have Eichel sitting there as your wide mate, anything can happen even with Barbashev as the third. And that power play is interesting with Dorofiev as the fourth forward is kind of coming along. So having an interesting top power play as long as an elite center to go with you is just on fire for a player that we know has, you know, the pedigree of playing good. Now, something that you wrote down, and I think it's kind of everyone's on top of the mind, is how healthy is he going to be going forward? Now, I'm not the best trader. And the what always questions me is that, hey, find me a fantasy manager that is not also thinking about the injury risk. So basically what I would have to be doing is you'd probably still have to fish for a person, as we're talking before about Devon Taves, of a person with that maybe is running low on a winger side. Maybe they drafted too many defensemen or goalies at the start and their forwards are thin. And then maybe you flip them for a different position, because I think it might be hard that while he is hot and you might want to trade him, I'm not sure how many people are going to give you the face value of just the points per game stat and not question the injury risk.
I agree with you. That's kind of what I was getting at with what I wrote down, is that if you can get a true point per game player for Mark Stone, I would consider doing it, because I think that's about where he settles, you know, a 75 to 80 point player pace rest of season. So he'll probably end up over point per game with this hot start. But, you know, if in the remaining 65 games, he puts in 63 points, that would be about where I'd have him. Obviously, that implies that he plays all of the remaining games, which is another concern. I'm not one to look at past injuries and assume they're going to happen again, but Stone's trend is one of the more convincing ones out there. So if you are a bit trepidatious about stuff like that, maybe it's a consideration. On the flip side, you could also argue that there's more upside for Mark Stone this year because Vegas lost the Marcia show that they had before, like that kind of second unit help. Maybe they're leaning heavier on Eichel and Stone for the offensive minutes. You know, they don't have Marchessault, they don't have Stevenson. Riley Smith's been gone. So it's a bit of a different team, a more top-heavy team, if you want to put it that way. Last but not least, we've got a goalie who's been hot, and surprisingly, it's Cam Talbot. I never thought I'd be saying this. He's got four straight quality starts, back-to-back one goal against performances, pretty positive goals save above expected numbers for the season. He may be separating himself from Lyon, and with Billy Huso buried in the minors, you may be getting more than 50% of starts from him, which would be pretty nice. We'll have to see how Friday and Saturday go, with him getting one game and Lyon getting the other. If this trend continues, it may kind of seal the deal. But do you think Cam Talbot's for real?
I think he's kind of, if he was the only goalie in there, I would be all over him, because I'm a fan of teams that just let their goalie take all the shots in the world. And Detroit's one of those teams that, well, even though they prefer not to be, their defensive core is still not into the situation to avoid taking that many shots. So while he's giving you these great performances of only allowing one goal on like 30 some shots, the nice thing is that even if, depending on how your league setup is, even if he lets in a few goals, it's going to be on like close to 30 shots, and it might even turn out fine even without a win. So keeping that in mind, he is at the very least an interesting streamer for me every game that he's playing, because I streamed him yesterday. But since I already have two goalies that are playing on Saturday, I actually dropped him. But depending on how your league is about how easy it is to get goalies and that kind of thing. You might be willing to hold on to a 50-50 split, but keep in mind, with any Detroit goalie at any game against any opponent, it could be blown up. So just, if you're fine with, you know, that chance of just seeing a random negative that just like is a pit in your stomach, then take the chance on him, because you're going to get some highs, but you're going to get some lows sprinkled in there as well.
Totally. I think that's the approach you got to take with all except for maybe the top 10 or so goalies. With that, our episode is over. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson patron group at keepingcarlson.com/patron. You can play in the Keeping Carlson Ultimate Patron Fantasy League, the Cupful, and interact with Brian, Elon, Shams, myself, all the other Short Shifts crew, and the other hundreds of talented fantasy managers in Discord. Please check out www.gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of that place, including team by team and searchable tweets by player name and goalie starts. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart, keep your shifts short.